From our studios in Nashville, Tennessee, we bring you Ask WWCR, a bi-weekly program that discusses the operation of WWCR and various topics of interest to all shortwave listeners. And now, here's the current edition of Ask WWCR.
Welcome to Ask WWCR, program number 540, which is intended for broadcast October 21st through November 4th, 2020. I'm Brady Murray, and I'm joined by telephone again by Dr. Jerry Plummer. Doc, it's only been 2 weeks since we last did this. That's the way it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But, you know, off and on for these past few months, I know that both of us have been unusually busy, and a lot of it's because of this whole thing about social distancing. You know, it's more to that. It takes more time to do stuff than it normally does. You know that?
It's unusual. Yeah. You just don't take anything for granted as far as being able to combine various tasks, right?
Yeah, you're used to be able to do sort of multitask, but when you're doing this social distancing, you're pretty much limited to one thing at a time, and I think it slows down productivity a little bit.
It seems to me, yeah, yeah. Maybe we'll get better with the things that we have to use to keep distance, but I'd really prefer if we didn't have to get better at it, something too. Put an end to this, right?
Yeah, I mean, this has been going on all year, right, you know?
One in
1918 sure probably went on quite a while, too, though.
Probably. How well do you remember that?
I was going to say, I was so little then.
Doc, we have a couple of things to talk about. I think that on the next program, we're going to mention some new broadcasters, so I want to let folks know that it does look like we've got some exciting new content to add to WWCR that I look to add probably the first week or so of November. And we've got a couple of letters to read I think we both really appreciated two that we got from the same individual who is in Germany.
Right.
And he is clearly a fan of the program VORW and listens to that on 6115 2200 UTC. And he gave us some great information to confirm some things that we know about propagation, that it's improving, and that's yet something else that to tie into something going on with WWCR and shortwave globally, is that those lower frequencies, as our days get shorter, are likely to improve quite a bit. And there will be seasonal adjustments made beginning on Saturday, October the 25th.
Right, right.
So it's important, especially for WWCR listeners, just check out our website, WWCR.com, and there'll be the schedule that we're currently operating on, a very brief schedule, and then a schedule following it that goes for a long stretch through, I believe, March of 2021. That will tell you everything you need to know about the changes that we're making, some of them not terribly significant, but if there's a theme to it at all, it is leaving higher frequencies a little bit earlier because we've lost so much daylight in a hurry since about July, right?
And on the changes that we make, we tried to, on the 25th, we've tried to make most all of them then so that the following week there'll be less confusion. So we're trying to make it where it's just one set of changes. But if there is a motif to the whole thing, it's we're moving to more time on the lower, you know, the 6115s, the 5935s, the 5890s, the 4840s, like that. Because propagation is going to be stronger like that.
Shorter days. And, yeah. I think, Doc, it's a fact that the ionosphere moves closer to Earth when it's dark. So it really has a lot to do with the shorter days, right?
Yeah, I think it does, too. And we're getting proof of that in the emails that we get or the reception reports we get from people.
Sure. So I got off a little bit there, but I wanted to make mention of that. Once again, back to this listener in Germany, and he has done a wonderful job here reporting on VORW. He's named the songs. Something I really like, Doc, he pointed out that he's a school-aged person. He likes to get up in the morning before school and listen on 4840 in Germany, for example.
Yeah.
And it says that that's a good strong signal. Says that 13845 is a good strong signal. And something I really appreciated about this particular response was he said that he was able to identify a song by the Beatles using the app Shazam on his smartphone. So,
yeah,
so you know, it is possible, it seems, to for smartphones and shortwave radio to coexist, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good example of it. He's got different types of media that are working with each other. And that's, yeah, like you say, he said it was Blackbird by the Beatles, and he was heard it by using Shazam on his smartphone. And that's a good way to mix those two technologies.
Absolutely. I think it's a great way to deal with a language barrier. I'm very pleased with this entire email, and it will be he will get a QSL card, no doubt. But we talked about we got a couple of these within about a four-day period of time, and the one that we received on the 20th of October begins like this. He says, I've listened to the latest episode of Ask WWCR on the Internet, and I like the program very much. I do greatly appreciate the fact that you give your listeners the chance to be featured on the program and to have questions answered. In the latest episode, you mentioned that it occurs sometimes that tubes on the transmitters need to be changed. I was wondering how old the transmitters are, when they still run on tubes, and by which company they were built. I hope that you might answer this question on an upcoming episode of Ask WWCR. So, the transmitters, Doc, themselves date back generally to the late 1980s through mid-1990s, those that we have.
Yes.
And so far as the tubes, at least at WWCR, if there is not some event that causes damage to a tube or a chain of events that would cause damage to a tube, we estimate that we can use a tube for about 3 years. Tubes, presently, Doc, to rebuild a tube is about $12,000. So what you do is you take the tube out, and you have to have a spare to use. You take the tube out, and you send it, we do, to a company called CPI Econco, which is located in California, and they will rebuild it, or they can sell you a brand new tube at about twice the cost. So we do our very best to avoid buying a brand new tube. In fact, I don't remember ever having bought a brand new tube.
And you know, part of what he's saying about the tubes is sort of implying, like with consumer radios, that tubes are something from the 30s or 40s or 50s. But in our situation, with 100,000 kilowatts or 100,000 watts going out, even the brand new ones run tubes. The one they call the Superstation that was just up in northern Maine that came online last year, it has tubes.
And those are always the star of the show. When we're allowed to have visitors, when we're not, you know, in a pandemic and folks stop by and look around, the ham radio operators that are familiar with tubes, when they see a tube that we use here, that's always the star of the show. Just the size of it, that's always what's most impressive to someone with technical knowledge of tubes, radios, transmitters, etc.
And those that know a lot more about tubes than me, if I'm correct, say that on a shortwave transmitter, if you go over 50,000 watts, you're going to be using tubes. And you're going to be using water cooling, too.
I don't know that to be a fact, but you certainly interact with a lot of folks, and we do water cooling as well. We do water cooling, and we had an extremely hot summer, and we have even one smaller air conditioner just to kind of take the edge off that we put back in service over this summer. So it takes a lot of air conditioning and a lot of water to keep those big old machines cool enough to stay on the air.
And, you know, on those tubes, it's so critical that you said initially that you got to have another one as a backup. because it takes a while for those guys in California to rebuild them and send them back. So we can't afford to be off the air for long stretches. So you've got to have a backup that when the one comes out, you put the other one in right immediately.
Exactly. And as you know, Doc, back in the summer, we had a situation where we were off the air for a little bit, and that's because of a tube that gave out that was brand new. And I won't say anything further except to say that at that time we had to look elsewhere for a tube. And that experience causes us to use only CPI Econco. So folks who are interested in that, anyone who is interested more about tubes, WWCR's perspective on that is that CPI Econco is where you go.
Yeah, it really is, because we can't afford the luxury of having one die brand new like that. But it's interesting, like you say, when it's not a pandemic and when we have visitors, the tubes are always the star of the show because they're monsters compared to what you see in a little radio. They're amazing. To me, even after all these years, they're still amazing to look at.
Well, I know that every time that I ship one back to California to be rebuilt, it comes in at like 102 pounds with the packing and the tube itself.
Wow. So,
Doc, I want to touch on one other email that I think will kind of tie some things together for this program. And it's very brief. It says, "Hello from Hendersonville, North Carolina, here in the United States. I love your station, but now can only get you once a week. Did you change the signal strength? Seems only once a week it is available regardless of weather." And that's from Rob in North Carolina. Doc, what do you think about that?
You know, I really don't know what to say about that. I know that this time of year, for this 2 or 3 week period, you got a lot of shifting and shaping, you know, like we were talking about moving to the lower frequencies and how you can sense that the higher frequencies are sort of fading away. I'm thinking that he might be listening in the day to the higher frequencies, or maybe towards the afternoon when we're getting ready to change to a lower frequency. He didn't tell us what he was listening to, but it makes me wonder if he's a victim of sort of this time change thing.
Well, he says he can now get it only once a week, and I want to go first to this. Did you change signal strength? Absolutely not. There's nothing been changed on the transmission side, but it does go back to me, in my mind, to in a huge hurry, our length of daytime went down considerably, right? And so we could probably make much more frequent changes to our frequency usage. Probably every station could, but we stick to international guidelines that say you kind of do that twice a year.
Yeah.
A season and B season. So again, this upcoming Saturday, B season is starting. And I guess I would summarize that by saying that in the fall and winter, I think that people have better luck overall with reception. So I think after a period of just things maybe not being as you're used to, I think it will settle in very nicely over the fall and winter.
You know, and VORW believes that totally too, because he's saying that he can literally see it day by day during this particular time change. And again, that's why we're making those frequency changes this weekend, the 25th.
That's right.
Go to WWCR.com, take a look at the changes that occur from 1025 to, what, about 11-1 or something like that?
Right, and then scroll down even further, and you'll see what goes on over an even longer stretch.
Yeah, Doc, all the way out through March.
Once again, that's all the time we have. Next time around, we're going to talk about some new broadcasters and address any questions maybe that come in about frequency changes, all right?
Sounds good.
Ask WWCR is a biweekly presentation of WWCR Incorporated. If there are questions you would like to have answered during the show, send them to Ask WWCR, 1300 WWCR Avenue, Nashville, Tennessee, 37218, USA. You can also send an email to Ask WWCR at WWCR.com. askwwcr@wwcr.com. No email attachments, please. That's askwwcr@wwcr.com. Be listening for your questions to be answered on future editions of Ask WWCR.